12:1-6. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Singing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud, and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of God for the people of God. And now, may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message from Jesse Adams, Christmas Joy.
Excuse me. Sorry. During these days, probably the most popular phrase that we hear is Merry Christmas. Have you ever wondered what that really means? What does it mean to have a Merry Christmas? Daniel Webster, in his dictionary, he says there are several meanings to the word Merry. Merry could mean gaiety with high spirits. It could mean delightful. And it could mean festivity. Let's think about the traditional celebration of Christmas Day. Oh, sure, there's a hustle and the bustle in preparing it. But when you look through it all, there's decorating, there's wreaths, there's poinsettias. The house is clean. Christmas cards are sent out and they are received. And then there are a host of celebrations all over the place. There are parties, special amusement parks have special events. And then you wake up on December 25th and you have all that glorious smell of food in the house. And then we gurge like nobody has ever seen gurge before. The entire family is there. And we say, oh, what a Christmas we've had. And you're joyous that it's all over now because you're tired and go to bed. But have we ever thought of the alternative? Suppose there were no lights. I've got mine in the front yard, but suppose they weren't there. Suppose suddenly I begin to pick up all these poinsettias and throw them down. Or take them out. Get them out. Or suppose on December 21st, your employer said, this is your last day of work. You're unemployed. You won't come back after Christmas. On the other hand, you may be lonely. All of your family is gone, and you stand alone. Or maybe you're homeless. The trees are your home at night as they spread above you and as you lay down. Or maybe you're sick. Or even maybe you're in a stage of bereavement. Please don't throw a rock at me. But people are that way. And do they have a Merry Christmas? Is there anything for them to be joyful about? If we look at it, we say, I'm glad that won't be my Christmas. I remember one Christmas, I was not at home, I was visiting. And on Christmas Day, we were all gathered, and there happened to be a young man from the neighborhood there, too, and looking around, and there's the Christmas tree with all its gifts. And the young man said to me, Mister, give me a gift. Wow. In the context of the scriptures today, we find that the word Mary appears 14 times in the New Testament with various meanings. One, to celebrate, to be glad, to rejoice, and only once, to be merry. On this third Sunday of Advent, our focus is upon the joy of Christmas. Isaiah 12 relates to the restoration of Israel to their holy land. They had been in exile because of punishment for their sin for 70 years. And now the prophet Isaiah is saying that there is going to be a return. And it says, God is your salvation. And he ends in verse 3 by saying, with joy will you draw waters from the wells of salvation. You're going to celebrate. There's going to be happiness in your life. There is going to be gladness because you've received your salvation. And salvation, of course, means deliverance. God is taking you out of Persia, and you're going back to Judah. You're going back to Jerusalem, and that temple's going to be rebuilt, and you're going to be happy because you are at home. You're no longer in a foreign land. In this text, when you begin it, you read the phrase, "In that day." We may ask ourselves, well, what day is Isaiah referring to? Is he referring to the day that we get back home? Well, that will be good. But is it possible that there is another meaning to end that day? For chapter 9 of chapter 12 of Isaiah relates to what Isaiah has said in chapters 9 and 11. What did he say? Chapter 9, he says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Well, surely that hadn't taken place. And when you go to chapter 11, there are two things that strike our attention. First of all, he says
that there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of David, the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Jesse was David's father. And from Jesse's line, David would be born. And from David, a branch would bear fruit. David is dead. But yet, Isaiah is sticking to the promises of God that says from the line of David, the Messiah would come. And certainly, in that day, could not refer to the restoration. Secondly, it talks about a time where there will be peace on earth, even among the animals. Listen, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat like an ox. The nursing child will play over the hole of a cobra, and the winged child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters over the sea. Certainly, that hadn't taken place. So we can consider in that day to be futuristic, something that would happen. To assist us in understanding Christmas joy, we need to go to the testimonies of those who were a part of the Bethlehem event. Notice, if you will, the emphasis is upon joy. And when we go to these testimonies in the Gospel of Luke, none of them express what we see today regarding Christmas. And let me tell you, let me not be misunderstood. It's precious. It's good. It's delightful. The celebrations that we're looking for. But the testimonies that come out of Luke have none of that. And yet it is bubbling over with joy. First of all, we see Mary, a young lady, engaged. Back then, the engagement was a year, and you were known as husband and wife, but yet you did not come together as husband and wife. During that year, that nice man she was going to marry was Joseph. And suddenly, the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, Mary, you are highly favored. God loves you, Mary. God is approving you. And he goes on not only to say that she's highly favored, that God's grace had descended upon her, but he goes on to say, Mary, his favor results in this. Guess what? You're going to have a baby. What? Yeah. You're going to have a child. No, 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 no. Not me. What's Joseph going to say about this? Mary, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be great. He's going to have the throne of David descend upon him. The land of Israel had no king after Zedekiah, 587 BC. No king. But this child that you're going to carry, he is going to be given the kingship of David, and it's going to be an everlasting king. It's just not going to rise up and fall. He's going to rule forever. And guess what, Mary? The son that you're bearing will be called the Son of God. Wow. What news. It's good to know that God has favor upon you. It's good to know that all things are right with God. The angel went on to say, guess what, Mary? Your relative Elizabeth, she's an old woman, you know her. Yeah. Said, well, he's pregnant too. 6 months. What? That's right. With God, all things are possible. So Mary says, okay, let me go see Elizabeth. And so she travels 50 to 70 miles. How she did it, I don't know. That, you know, there was a time in my life where my car was in the shop being repaired. And I had to walk home from work, from the church to my house. And it was about 3.5 miles, and I had to walk it. And it took an hour. Can you believe what a journey of 50 to 70 miles meant on a donkey? Sometimes walking. I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us. But she made that journey. And while she made that journey, she sung a chorus of praise. Some call it the Magnificat of Mary. And in this praise, she says, listen, what I'm telling you comes from deep within my heart, my soul, and my spirit. It is not something that I see on the outside, but something that dwells within me. And I'm so happy. I'm so joyous. Why, Mary? Number one, because God has had favor on me. That I have received the grace of God in my life. Brothers and sisters, December 25th, joy should be, I am saved. I have received the grace of God in my life. I believe in him, and he lives within me through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That's joy. Amen. And not only is it the fact that he has basically favored me, he has recognized my lowly estate, where I am. Now, that could mean several things. It could mean where she was socially, or it could mean that financially she didn't live up to what a lot of people had, and so forth. Or it could be looking down at the spiritual. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that, brothers and sisters, is a lowly estate. And Mary says that he has looked down on my lowly estate and he has raised me up. Not only have I received his favor, but I've received his mercy. Amen. A lot of times, one of the most popular songs for a lot of people is Amazing Grace. But do you really know what makes it amazing? That God will look down upon us in our darkness, in our sin, and he would say, I love you, and I'm going to send my son down there in on earth to live with you and to be your savior. Mary goes on to say that he is mighty. He's capable of doing anything. The power that God that we saw in the Old Testament, now I've experienced the power of God in me. He has done something that no man can do. Without being married, without having a romantic relationship, I am now bearing his son. The joy of Christmas is that we understand and have experienced the power of God in our lives. And having experienced that, we should be leaping with joy, worshiping, saying, "Thank you, Father." You know, I must admit that oftentimes I have celebrated Christmas, and it's been with the idea that everything is right, everything falls into place, without realizing the joy that comes from Jesus. The second thing we look at is the angelic message that was given to the shepherds. The shepherds were out watching their sheep. In terms of status, it was a lowly status to be a shepherd. Some say that possibly these shepherds were watching temple sheep. We don't know that. But what we do know, that their watching the sheep was suddenly interrupted when the heavens opened and angels appeared. And maybe they said, "Do you see what I see? Am I drunk? Or is something wrong with me?" And suddenly, from the skies, he says, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. Be calm, cool, and collected. Because I bring unto you good news." Glad tidings, good news. Wow, that's good. We need good news. We've been waiting for someone to come and deliver us from Gentile oppression. And now you're saying this good news that a Savior has come? Well, that is good news. And it goes on to say that this Savior will be born in a manger. He's going to be in Bethlehem. And not only is he going to be in the manger in Bethlehem, but that the Savior is for all people. If you had lived back during that day, of course, you understood that the Jews were the chosen of God through Abraham. The non-Jews, they were outsiders. They were not a part of the covenant relationship with God. Some would say in their prayers, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile." But here, the word of God, the message of those angels was that for unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this Savior is for all people. Praise God. Because there today, maybe many people will think, "Well, how can God look at me? How can God save me? I don't have the right education. I don't have enough money. I'm not of the right race. I'm not of the right thinking. I'm just not it. How would anybody look at me and say, 'I've got favor with you'?" But God does. And regardless to who we are, if we would just say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus in my life. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sin." In that moment, you are born again and you become the son and child of God. Don't let what other people say about you put you down and think that God cannot reach down and help you. He has. He can forgive the person who is murdered. He can deliver the drug addict, the drunkard. He can basically forgive the person who's been immoral. He can forgive the person who has his idolatry on finances. Our God will save anyone who comes to Jesus. And the joy of Christmas is, Lord, thank you. You have saved me. Thirdly, there's a declaration in the temple, Luke chapter 22-38. It was the custom of the Jewish people, according to Leviticus chapter 12, that there be a dedication of the child after his birth, the firstborn. If it was a boy, it should be 40 days after his birth. If it were a girl, would be 60 days after her birth. So Joseph and Mary went to the temple to fulfill this ritual that God had said that they must do with their firstborn. And unknowingly, they meet two individuals. The first one, a man called Simeon. The scripture says that he was a devout man and that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It does not say anything about him being a priest, but he was a devout man looking for the coming of the Lord. And his testimony was that God had told him, Simeon, you're not going to leave this world until you have seen the salvation of God. And Simeon looks at Mary and Joseph, and he picks up the child in his arms, and he smiles, he laughs, and he says, oh, God, I praise you. I praise you, God. And now you can take me, because my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. It's going to be a light to the Gentiles and for the glory of Israel. God, I'm ready to go home. I've seen Jesus. I've seen your salvation. And therefore, Christmas joy for each and every one of us is, God, I know that I'm forgiven. God, I know that you in my life through Jesus Christ. And not maybe you're not ready to say, Lord, take me on and get me out of here. But yet and still, you're happy because you experience God's salvation. Then the second person, an aged person, a widow by the name of Anna, 84 years old. The scripture says that she was a prophetess. And yet her lifestyle was daily to be in the temple and to pray and to fast. And seeing the child Jesus, she smiles, she's happy, and she praises God. And not only does she praise God, but she begins to tell everybody about this baby. Everyone who looked for redemption, and she says, hey, redemption is here. The child is here. He's born. And in this time of the year where there is emphasis upon the birth of Jesus, let us tell everyone that Jesus is born. He is a Savior. He can forgive. He can cleanse. He can rescue. He is the Savior. And therefore, at Christmas, our joy is focused upon Him and Him alone and what He's done for us. I don't care if we didn't get any gifts. We've got one gift, God's Son. Amen. Now, as we conclude, we have to go to 1 Peter chapter 8 through verse 9. Our emphasis of the morning has been Christmas joy. And this text in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 to 9, comes within a time of praise. praising God for his relationship with us. And Peter says, even though right now things might not be that good for you, you're going through some trial. But don't worry, because we know, number one, although you don't see Jesus, he's sitting on God's throne up in heaven. You don't see him, but guess what? You love him. Praise God. And hopefully, as we celebrate Jesus, we will express the fact that we love him. We love him for what he's done for us. And then he says, not only do you love him, but he says, not seeing him, yet you believe. You don't give up your faith because of trials. You're looking toward the future, and you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as a result of believing him as the Son of God, he says, you are filled with joy and with glory. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the outcome of believing. And what is it? It is the salvation of our soul. And therefore, at Christmas, we are filled with joy because we are born again. And with, like Isaiah, what he said, with joy we have gathered from the wealth of salvation. And because of that, we are happy and joyful in the Lord. Joy to the world. The Lord has come, and he lives within me. Therefore, I'm happy. I have joy. I have the joy of Christmas.